veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
It's fine.
You know what my mom told me yesterday? Because we were trying to figure out, like, when's Father's Day? Because my birthday is in 2 weeks. My dad's birthday is 4 days before my birthday. And she's like, yeah, he was always saying that he wanted to be the same, because my parents are 6 months apart. My mom's older. And she said he wanted me to wait to have you so that we were the same age when you were born. And I was like, well, she crossed your legs for 4 days? What is that about? Yeah. So it's always my dad's birthday, my birthday, Father's Day. Like, always on the same. We always had, like, a big thing.
Aw.
Yeah. Anyways.
That's cute.
Adorable, I know. I was the best birthday gift for my dad ever. And he almost missed it because he was at Peter's Drive-In. Which is why I used to always go get a milkshake on my birthday.
Nice. I don't know. I know I was an oops baby. I defied. My mom told me this. She's like, she had the copper thing for
the IUD.
Yeah, oh. And I defied it. So, yep.
I have heard stories where babies have been born holding their mom's IUD in their hand, like.
Got you. You thought you could win. Didn't.
So they only wanted two girls, and they got you. Aww.
Well, I think they wanted to wait. I think that's what it was. Yeah. And then they... So my sister just above me is only like 16 months older than me.
Oh, damn. That's close.
Yeah.
We're almost Irish twins. So.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Ever heard of Irish triplets?
Like... three in a row that like that?
Yeah, they're like, they're all like 13 months apart or something, or 11 months apart. I don't even know. It's
wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a nerd from me. I saw this picture of, what was it? You see those pictures where there's like the huge families, and so there was one that I just saw where it was like the kids went basically like in a like straight line just down all the way to like one that's just in a, there was like a 12-year-old and then a baby.
Like a baby.
Like a baby in a carrier thing. And all the comments on it are just like, the mom that's just like laying in a, there's a one that's like this like shriveled up like alien thing in a pool. And it's like, that's the mom right now. Like she's just like, okay. Just shriveled up and just,
I do not have the organization. I'm a very organized person, and I can barely keep straight two children's activities and schooling and friends things and social calendars and sports.
You know what? I was told, though, someone's like, after the sixth one, the oldest one can start taking care of the, like, as if that's a normal thing. And also, like, parentifying the child.
Yeah,
and then
not the kid's job.
So, but that's, you know, when you grow up in a Mormon church where multiply and replenish the earth, there's always that one family in the ward that's like takes up the whole bench, you know, with just their kids and them.
Yes!
And they're like stuffed onto the bench, you know.
Yes,
there were two in my ward growing up that was like huge. They were huge,
like the middle pew, the really long middle pews, not the ones on the side. I love that we know exactly what we're talking about. One of my son's friends from school, his dad is 11th out of 15 kids.
Oh,
they're Mormon.
I'm
or no, 9th
sorry,
out of 11th, 9th out of 11th. And then she has a sister, the mom has a sister who has 15 kids. That's what it is. Yeah. Imagine. It's 2024. She has 15 kids.
Ugh.
Yeah. I was like, how is that? There's got to be like some twins in there, hey? There's got to be. And I looked at her and I was like, how many are you guys having? She's like, we're good at two. Yeah, I hear that.
Let's see. I'm like, 15? That's like, isn't like basically 20 years just being pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, just pregnant.
Just pregnant. Because each pregnancy is like 10 months, basically.
Yeah. And then,
150 months of pregnancy. Oh, my God.
Oh, that sounds miserable.
It really does. 9 months was long enough for me. I was like, get out.
So, and my parents both come from larger family. Like, my dad had 8 kids in his family. Well, it was supposed to, there were 10, but there were 2 stillbirths. But, so large families. And then my mom on her side, she was the youngest of 6, which is big.
Still
a big
family.
Still big. Yeah. And then, it's definitely big for today's standards, but both of them were like, no, we're not doing big family. Nope. Yeah. All right. So you ready to get into what we're going to talk about today?
Sure.
We're going to talk about specifically transgender, because I think that it's important, especially because of all the stuff that's going on. It's a big conversation politically, which is, it's just a political pawn to demonize a group of people.
Yep.
And it's a constant battle, especially when you learn more about it and you realize like that it's not a mental illness. It's not, it's gender, as we've said before, is a social construct. It doesn't need to be, and we're imposing this stuff on these people that are just trying to live their fucking lives. And there's also statistics that like more youth are coming out as transgender, and they think it's an epidemic. But it's really because
I have a theory about this because I saw it. People were saying it's like when you buy a red car and you start seeing red cars everywhere. It's because you start to notice because it suddenly is something that you're aware of. It's not that it's happening more often. Yeah. You're just more aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And then also, like, it's just becoming, it's more acceptable in more, and there's more, you see it more in media. You see it. Mm-hmm. There's a thing about seeing yourself reflected in other things where you're just like, oh, that is what I am. You know, and it's just for the longest time we didn't understand. We still don't understand it fully, but I think there's a lot more conversation happening around it. And fun fact, as I was at the gym yesterday, they have Fox News playing, which fuck Fox News, but I was looking at it because I was, you know, bored with my and doing cardio or whatever, and trying to, you know, keep going. But they have a whole fucking segment about DEI Fridays, which is equality. Why can't an inclusion, isn't it? Why can't I think of, anyway, DEI. Okay. Right. But the right wing people are anti DEI because it's teaching about things that are not white, cisgender, whatever, traditional marriage, all that stuff. So,
My God,
they have a whole segment weekly about DEI Fridays, which is basically, and the whole segment, I watched it for, I could just see, I was timing it, and it was about 10 minutes long, 15 minutes long, of about anti-trans bullshit. Like, they showed this guy who was, it was probably satire. I don't know what it was. I was going to look into it more, but this guy was teaching trans women, well, I can't say guy. I don't know what they were, how they identify. I couldn't tell because I wasn't listening to it. But teaching trans women how to, if they wanted to, if this was something that they needed to, like, to feel more female, feel more woman, you know, to, if they want to milk, you know, like, use, so he was using coconuts, you know, and, like, just kind of, Which is weird. I understand
weird,
that.
Yeah.
It is weird. But, like, they were mocking him, that person, and the, for this
Oh.
whole segment. And then they interviewed people on the street about, like, can men milk and can they, you know, lactate is what
Yeah.
it, and they showed that segment from Meet the Parents when it says I have nipples, can you milk me, you know, and I was disgusted that they had a whole segment based around that when it's like, why do you care?
Yeah.
Why highlight something that you think is so repulsive, you know? And
Yeah.
I just, if you're gonna, and there was also something about there was a runner, there was a trans runner that sprinted and beat all these biological women, and
Okay.
the trans woman beat them by a lot, I guess. They
Okay.
use these examples, like these one-offs, as
Yeah.
like a, as if it's like a big thing, and they act like trans people are just trying to overtake the sports and stuff when
yeah, they do. They really
it's
do.
not happening that way. It's not. And also there's been studies that it actually isn't that much of an advantage. So
especially if you look at all the hormones, like the oh well, because it's a guy, he's got testosterone. Well, not if you're on a bunch of hormones that are completely depleting your testosterone count. And, like, are you kidding me? Also, I know a lot of manly men who couldn't run that fast. Like, it's not,
yeah,
their body's
exactly.
not engineered to do that. So
exactly. And what was it? There was another segment I saw another day of Fox News. You know, what's her name? Riley? Oh, God. Anyway, she's a Olympic swimmer. And then there's she got beat out by a trans woman for like this finalist something. And so I don't remember the full story, but she got beat out. And so she's become this like spokesperson for anti-trans, basically.
Oh, for God's sake.
And
she got
so,
her feelings hurt because somebody beat her.
Yeah. And she got the medals taken away from that person. That
oh, what?
Person, and basically ran her name through the mud. So you basically just destroyed this person's livelihood and their career.
Yeah.
Just to make yourself feel better.
Feel better? Yeah, there was this...
And they weren't that... She didn't beat her by that much. Like, it was very close.
Very close, yeah. There was this, like... I don't even think it was high school. I think it was junior high. No, it must have been high school. There was this high school girl who was making a big stink because a transgender girl beat her in a race, and that's not fair, and blah, blah, blah. She came in third. Somebody else beat her, too. But she's making this big stink about, like, well, they shouldn't be allowed to compete. You didn't come in second, either.
Yeah.
Like, calm down. You were beat by two people. One of whom happened to be trans, and I'm sorry, I don't know anybody that would put themselves through the absolute sheer hell that it is to transition just to win a medal. Like, that seems like a really low payoff for what you have to go through mentally, physically, like, the horrible things that people say to you. I cannot imagine doing all of that so you can win a high school trophy.
Yeah, exactly. And why, okay, so... Why is the conversation always about trans women, too? It's never about trans men who are entering into sports because, oh, that's fine, because they're not actually...
Because she's a little girl, actually. She can't do anything with her little weak arms.
Yeah. When actually testosterone is stronger, and so actually they should have they should be more equal with the men.
Yeah. There's nobody talking about the trans man who came in 35th in a race. Nobody's talking about it because it doesn't... You know,
because it's not a threat, and also
not
like
a threat to them,
what we've talked about before, they're afraid of femininity. They're mad at femininity. These
the
quote
hatred
unquote
of femininity,
biological men being feminine. They don't want that
because they're wasting
Why
their
would
God given
your...
right to be a masculine man because men are so much better. That's what it comes down to. They look down on these people because they've wasted their masculinity and they've given it away. And that's the end all be all to these fucking narrow-minded bigots.
Yep. I think it honestly just comes right down to misogyny. So it's interesting to see the Venn diagram of misogyny and homophobia. It's just like right there, you know, like very overlapping.
And you know who thinks the most about other people's genitalia? The homophobic people. They're the ones that are constantly obsessed of what's under your clothing. What parts are you carrying? What do you do in the bedroom? They cannot let it. I don't give a shit what parts people have. None of my business. Don't care.
As long as you're consenting adults and you're doing whatever, like, and it works for you, you both are safe, we good.
Like there is a teacher in my community that transitioned, and there are parents that'll be like, I cannot have my child because that has anything to do with multiplication tables.
Right.
Whether that person has a penis or a vagina, that has anything to do with your nine times tables.
Yeah.
Really?
Nothing.
Are they a good teacher?
Oh, and then that gets into like the whole thing of like, oh, they're pushing on trans, the trans like agenda, the gay agenda onto their kids. And it's like, they're literally not, that's not what's happening in schools. Just because they identify that way doesn't mean they're saying like, oh, by the way, 2 + 2 = 4, but also, you know, you can be queer.
I used to have a penis and now I have it. My kids' teachers don't even discuss that they have a partner. I've had, so my oldest has been in pre-K, kindergarten, and grade one. His teachers have all been Ms., because that's just what we use, or Miss., and their last name. There has never been a discussion of that they have a husband or a wife. One of the teachers was having a baby, and so it was made known to us parents that she was going to disclose that she was having a baby and that she was married to her husband and they were bringing this baby in. And was that all right for classroom discussion? Because it was obvious that she was growing a child and kids have questions about body changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's never this whole like, oh, they're pushing their trans agenda.
Yeah.
Our teachers can't even talk about their straight relationships. So you suddenly think that this person is going to be like, oh, by the way, you have to be gay? I highly, highly doubt that. Like, it's just so funny. It's so funny that we... Anyways.
Yeah, it's funny and aggravating, too. So it's
funny because if I don't laugh at it, I'll start crying.
Right, exactly. So I looked up some statistics on, like, for both Canada and America. You're welcome.
Thank you.
As of May 2024, there are 515 anti-LGBTQ bills in the U.S.
515?
Mm-hmm. And it's not even halfway through the year.
Happy Pride Month.
And then the only thing I could find for Canada that kind of equated, I don't know, anyway, maybe you could find something different, but... 5 of 13 provinces are high risk for anti-trans. Alberta's
probably number one.
It was the number one that came up. Yeah. Alberta, Manitoba, New Brunswick, Ontario, and Saskatchewan.
Yeah, it's, the prairie provinces are very conservative. New Brunswick is it's its own little. The best place for Queer Alliance would be BC.
That's actually okay. So the other, I did the low risk end. There was like a medium risk one, but I was, it said BC, Manitoba, which Manitoba came in twice. I was like, why is that?
Probably different areas of the province.
Oh, okay. And then Newfoundland and Yukon.
Newfoundland, really?
Yeah.
Huh. It's because you can't understand what they're saying, probably. So you
are there a lot of people up there? I don't know. Like
in the Yukon? Yeah, there's quite a few.
In Newfie? In
oh, in Newfoundland, the island. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's small, like the rock is small.
Oh. Okay.
New Brunswick's like a little broken off piece of it, though. So maybe all the homophobes all just like went down.
So I've
got
found...
the robot.
Oh, I wish, and I feel like that's where we're going, is that there's going to just be like states, like in provinces where people just end up going to where they are more accepted. And that's what happens, really, especially in America, where they're pushing power back to the states. Is that's what happens. You don't have a unity. You have just like, you know, pockets of different
they're
ideas.
Trying to, it's more nefarious here. So the provincial government just passed Bill 20, I believe it's called, which allows provincial government to have oversight on local municipal government. So our municipal governments, our mayors, are not affiliated with any government. why can't I think of
government
words?
Government body?
Thank like you. Government. So okay. They don't belong to like the Conservative Party or the NDP or the Liberals. They're just our mayor is just our mayor, right?
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, there's no political writing that they are, you just, you know, they run the platform of like, I believe in this community, blah, blah, blah. And then the town votes for them. So now the provincial government has passed a bill where they have oversight. So they can remove town mayors or town council members, if they so choose, if they think that that they have reason to do that. So the provincial government, which is very conservative, is now going to have oversight over my town's mayor, who is very progressive and very loving and very kind and very, you know, equal. They now have the right to remove her if they feel like they want to.
Excuse me. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So our mayor, who is very pro pride and like we have a, you know, a rainbow sidewalk in our town and she's very much an ally. Now the provincial government can remove her if this goes through.
If they feel like, wow.
Yeah. So it's much more nefarious here. It's not in your face, blatant bigotry. It's very behind the scenes and you have to look at why. And you have to, like, there's this, other thing that the provincial government is doing where they're trying to dictate medical decision making. They're trying to take away medical decision making skills away from parents, and they're saying it's to protect children so that they get the proper medical care.
That shit's happening here too.
Yeah, it's because then minor children are not able to get gender affirming care. And it's going to go to the point where women will no longer be allowed to have gender affirming care. They will not be access to abortion.
And that's the thing. I feel like this the transgender conversation, the anti-trans conversation, leads back to misogyny, because it's literally just about taking away women's rights, because it's just a gateway to it. Like, it's just a different way to get to take away women's rights.
Yeah. And they put the trans people up as this huge platform of, look at this scary thing. Mm-hmm. But if you actually look at the wording of all of these bills and this legislation, it is against women's rights. It is against women's reproductive rights. It's against women's ability to make choices for themselves. It is against it is against women.
Yep.
Regardless if you were born biologically female or not. Yeah. It's absolutely, and when you actually read it, it's so scary.
Yeah. So I guess a trigger warning we probably should have given at the beginning of this was about but it's fine. If you're not in the space for this, that's just the beginning of what we're going to talk about. So
dip out. We're good.
Yeah.
All love.
All right. So I did some, there's this site for, let's see, it's called Keshet for LGBTQ equality in Jewish life, which I thought was interesting. But like, I the reason why I use this one is because I liked their format of like Q&A stuff. But they developed the guide to help dispel myths and provide accurate factual information. We intend for this to be used to better understand common misconceptions about transgender and non-binary people, as well as to provide starting conversational points to guide difficult conversations. We believe that the way to change hearts and minds is to engage openly in dialogue and to be responsive to each individual person's values. The response suggestions in this guide are meant to help facilitate this process, but we encourage you to find and adapt the language that resonates the most with you. So, pretty good, huh? So first question or statement, that the sex is biological and there's only male and female.
False.
So, yeah, exactly. So a response that you can give, I understand why you would think that. It's what most of us were taught. In reality, biological sex is much more complex. It's determined by not only genitalia, but also hormone production and response, internal organs, secondary sex characteristics, and chromosomes. About 2% of the population is intersex, which means that their bodies defy our societal categories and expectations of male or female. There's a great variety in intersex experiences. Someone may have different kinds of organs, chromosomes, hormones, and or other biological characteristics. Intersex people number about the same as the number of redheads. To me, this means the way that we are taught about biological sex is actually more complicated and expansive.
Yeah, there's certain chromosomal abnormalities that create a whole array of different organs to be visible, non-visible, present, not present.
They think so black and white, you know, about this thing, and it's not
a black and white issue. It's very
nuanced. And if you know anything about science, especially like you look at nature, like nothing in nature is just like one thing and another, you know, like it's just like there's so many variances within nature. We're part of nature. Why are we any different than that?
Yeah, the beauty of nature is the chaos that it overcomes obstacles and it doesn't follow the rules that are set out for it. You know, watching a dandelion grow through your driveway, that's not black or white. Driveway should stop dandelion, but nature defies.
Nature is always the whole point of our like species is to find ways to survive through different circumstances. That's the whole thing about evolution, is that you evolve. And I remember when I took my anthropology class, we talked about some moth that it was a white moth. I think that's what it was. I could be getting the colors wrong. It was a white moth for years, centuries, white moth. Mm-hmm. And then an industrial plant came in and something. It made it so that the tree, like the environment was like darker. Like, so there was like the trees that they were, it killed out a different species of tree, that maybe like the aspen or something. And then I could be getting this wrong. Anyway, it's been a while since I thought about it, but it killed off the aspen. And so they had these darker wood trees that were still thriving, and so this moth eventually their wings turned black because they could survive. They adapted to their environment. All right, so another one. People can't just choose their gender. There's an immense variety in how people do or don't identify with their assigned gender at birth. I bet that your idea of what makes you a man, woman, person, and the way that you express that is different from the person next to you. Gender identity is a person's inner understandings of the genders or genders with which they identify. This is each person's unique knowing or feeling and is separate from a person's physical body or appearance. There are many people who don't identify as a man or woman, and or whose gender identity is different from the sex they were assigned at birth. Many transgender and non-binary people do not choose a gender identity, but rather express long-held understandings of themselves. Harm is caused when these real understandings are denied or dismissed. Yeah. Any thoughts? Okay.
it's very nuanced, and the black and white construct is not, it doesn't work for everybody. For most of us, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. And the more I learn about it, the more I was like, I don't know. I don't necessarily, I never thought that I mean, still he, him, but like, I don't necessarily, like, I don't feel the construct as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. So. Like, you don't get offended when somebody goes, "Hey, girl."
Yeah.
It doesn't bother you. Yeah. Mm-mm. I know. I'm dude to one of my friends. She's always like, "Yo, dude."
Let's see. Conversations about LGBTQ plus identities are adult and are not age appropriate for children. LGBTQ plus. Oh, go ahead.
No, if a little girl is the letter Q and a little boy is the letter U and they get married in grade one, to explain that Q and U always go together, you can also talk about how boys can also marry boys. Like, if it's age appropriate to discuss men and women getting married at grade one, it's also appropriate to talk about men can marry men and women can marry women in grade one. It's
exactly.
People are putting this like nefarious evilness on relationships, and
yeah,
but only because it doesn't agree with what they personally
exactly
have. It's stupid. Yep.
This is a response. LGBTQ plus identities are not more adult or sexual than cisgender or straight identities. Just as we talk about cisgender and straight identities in age appropriate ways from a very young age, like you were saying, pointing out or describing characters and stories as boys or girls, talking about families, having mothers, fathers, other caregivers, encouraging dress up and creative play in gendered ways, answering questions about what it means to be a boy or girl, or what it means to form a family, it is important to include LGBTQ plus identities in the conversation in age appropriate ways. Gender, family structure, and clothing are not inherently taboo topics. If a question is asked, an age-appropriate answer can be given. The U.S. National Center on Parent, Family, and Community Engagement and the American Academy of Pediatrics, among others, say that kids as young as 2 or 3 begin to understand and ask questions about the concepts of gender and sexual orientation, and by kindergarten, many children have an emerging understanding of their own identities. Mm-hmm. Because kids learn about their gender and sexuality at a young age, it can actually be harmful to prohibit them from discussion. It's important for LGBTQ plus kids to have the language to be able to express themselves, or for non-LGBTQ plus kids to understand these concepts so that they do not inadvertently cause harm based on misunderstanding. Youth are never too young to be reminded that their whole selves have your affirmation and love, especially for those who are internally questioning their gender or sexuality. Mic drop.
Like, oh, I love it.
And it makes me think of like how I growing up queer and not even having the language for it, you know, mm-hmm. and not understanding that like, oh, I don't feel good playing with the boys because they're doing rough stuff and they're doing all this, you know, and I'd rather hang out with the girls and talk, like hearing them talk about boys, it's like, oh, that's exciting. But like mm-hmm. not understanding that that's not necessarily normal, quote unquote, but like that mm-hmm. it's
the societal norm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then being called the F slur in fifth grade. And then.
Oh, I hate that word so much.
I know. And what else? And then being, you know, constantly called that through all the way through high school, you know, and I and not really understanding why, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess in high school I kind of I understood it more, but I was just like very in denial because I didn't understand it myself.
Yeah, because you didn't have the ability to formulate those.
I didn't have the language for it, and I didn't have it wasn't normalized either. It wasn't like mm-hmm. this is okay to feel this way.
Yeah. Like for every storybook that we get from the library that is about a family, I am picking up a book that has a two dads family or a two moms family or grandparents raising. Like I'm trying to really be very mindful of the present because we don't have, unfortunately, in our friend group, it's all, you know, heterosexual relationships. And so I want my children to see that there are other alternatives in the world happening regardless of what they see with their eyes every single day, because I want them to not only should they need those language skills in their own life, but I want them to be able to identify and have empathy and love regardless of who they come into contact with in their entire lives.
Exactly.
And I think it's important, just like we're saying, you know, like my boys know, you know, like mommy and daddy are a boy and a girl who love each other and got married and had babies. Uncle Jake is a boy who wants to marry another boy. Like they understand mm-hmm. that concept, and it's not harmful to them. It's not grooming yeah. them to be. They just know that Uncle Jake likes boys,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. and I don't understand where these people are saying like, oh, it's so dangerous and you're grooming them. I'm not saying that they have to like boys. Yeah. I'm just giving the information that Uncle Jake likes boys.
Yeah. What harm is it to teach them about different concepts? Like it says in that, like it just gives non-LGBTQ plus kids, or even like, even if they don't understand that they are LGBTQ plus, you know, exactly. The, like maybe they don't know themselves yet, but like it gives them the tools to utilize that, and it actually makes them a better, more empathetic and more understanding human being. God forbid.
And if they need to identify that, they will be able to at a young age, because it's always been a conversation that we have, it's been a safe conversation in our home. Exactly. You know, my little guy wanting to wear a dress to your wedding when you marry your husband. That is just a conversation that we have.
It better be rainbow, too.
It will be rainbow. We have, you can't really see it. It's like iridescent, but we have rainbow nails today, Kenny and I.
Love it. All right. So another one, kind of what we were talking about just at the beginning. Transgender women are threatening women's sports and have an unfair advantage.
Yeah. Okay.
In response, personally, I don't think the sport categories will ever be completely equitable. Our human bodies are also different. Many athletes, for example, Michael Phelps, have physical differences that give them an advantage. Medical experts, as well as the International Olympic Committee, have stated there is no biological advantage that transgender women have over cis women. What's important to me is to live in a world where everyone can participate in sports regardless of their gender. Transgender and gender expansive athletes just want to participate like everyone else, and they should be able to do so in an environment that is affirming of who they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And again, like, I've had conversations with people who have stated the shit that I have put my body through, my brain through, my emotional well-being just to win a prize.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine doing all of that without, like, it actually being like a deep internal reason. Like,
exactly.
There's internal motivation and there's external motivation. And I don't see anybody putting their body, their mind, and their soul through that for an external motivation of a shiny medal that nobody's going to even care about in 3 years.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
And also to have their names run through the mud in media, you know, and just be like,
Have some bonehead on Fox News mocking them. Like, real. Like, are we in junior high? Like, that's what we're doing? We're being thinking a monkey bird. Ooh, you came in here. Like, that's what we're doing. That's how we're gonna behave. All right. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Let's see. Transgender kids are too young for gender affirming medical care. Many people are not sure what the term gender-affirming medical care means. Gender-affirming care covers a wide spectrum of care, including supportive and affirming psychotherapy, reversible medications that may delay the onset of puberty, and or medical care designed to bring a person's body into alignment with their internal sense of self. Like what you're talking about, internal sense of self. Mm-hmm. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to gender-affirming medical care, but most medical care available to youth is focused on emotional support, mitigating and coping with the distress that may accompany not having one's gender recognized, or navigating systems of oppression and delaying the onset of the physical changes associated with puberty to allow for one more time for discernment and decision-making. Puberty blockers are well studied, safe, and reversible. Side effects of puberty blockers are in line with side effects of many commonly prescribed medications, and each youth considering these medications weighs the potential side effects and benefits in collaboration with their caregiver and medical professionals. There's no need to further restrict access to these medications. It's hard to know what the right thing is to do when a child is experiencing a crisis due to their gender identity, and I can understand why some parents are scared to make the wrong decision. Part of the problem is that there are not enough care providers educated in transgender-affirming care and not enough access to information and options. For most transgender kids, allowing them to access care can be life-saving, and supportive parents can reduce the risk of depression and suicide. You're right that this is really hard, and I trust each family to make the best decisions for themselves and want for them to have the best information and medical support through the process.
Yeah. And our government is trying to say that they are the ones that should be able to choose, not mom and dad and child's conversations. It's disgusting. Yep. It's also like gymnasts take puberty blockers so that they remain compact and small and can continue to, you know, perform.
Yeah.
That's a very common thing in the gymnast world, is to take puberty blockers. Children who are on the autism spectrum, who are very low functioning and nonverbal, take puberty blockers so that they can prolong having to deal with feminine menstrual products without being able to communicate to them what is going on. I know someone who's had surgical intervention where they've gone in and done it sounds horrific, but they burn the lining of the uterus so that that person does not have a period for multiple years. They don't have the language to explain to this person that you're having a period, you are bleeding because of that. They cannot explain that. And to use menstrual products is just not something that they are capable of doing on their own. And as an adult bodied person, they would need, and that opens up a whole can of worms of who's in the bathroom helping them with these products. How are these products, you know? And so those are the types of things that people are saying, we can't let these transgender kids change their, that's not right. They're taking it away from these people who medically it's a necessity because of how they are experiencing the world, and that they don't have the ability to be educated. Mm-hmm. And so they're ripping that away from people without realizing, like, if you hurt one little tiny piece, you hurt all of us. And it comes back to these women who are in these bodies that function as an adult body with the brain capacity of a small child, you are now punishing these women too by taking away their gender affirming care and their, so we want these women who we can't even explain what a period is. We now want them to be assaulted and give birth to children, because now you're also taking away their ability to have an abortion when they don't, you cannot explain to them what caring for their body during pregnancy means.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't think about that.
Like, it's huge. It's
ableist too. It's like a
very ableist. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. See, that's what I just, the more I learned too, I'm just like, this conversation is not just about transgender people. It's
never been about transgender. It's just a very good, it's a very good flag to wave, and it's fireworks and it's confetti that is distracting you from what they're actually doing to the women in our society. They are stripping us of our abilities. They are stripping us of our choices because, ooh, big, scary transgender people. Look at them. We don't want them to have their rights. Mm-hmm. Not showing us that it's actually every single woman is at risk now because the legislation and the laws do not differentiate between trans women and biologically born women.
Wow. So whenever that changes everything, when I see like an anti-trans woman, like anti-trans, a woman that is anti-trans, it's like,
I don't understand.
Do you realize what you're doing?
Yeah. You don't want that. You don't want that individual to have gender affirming rights. That means you can't get your breast implants because that's gender affirming care. You have to have, like, the law has to state whether or not you're allowed to have your breast implants. Oh, goodness. You have had, a ectopic pregnancy that has put your life at risk. Sorry. That abortion needs to be voted on by a bunch of political leaders, not your doctor. Your doctor can't say, hey, this is going to kill you. We have to wait for us to get approval from a governmental body whether or not we can save your life because of a pregnancy that is not viable. We can't save your life until they tell us that we can save your life. I don't understand anti-trans women because it is such a more deeper and more complex problem. And either they are going in this with their eyes completely open and saying, yeah, fuck women. I hate women too. Or they are not educated and they are causing so much damage to their own gender.
Oh, yeah. I would bet it's more on that one, the latter. And actually, Texas Supreme Court just rejected challenges to abortion laws. The court ruled against 20 women who said they were denied medically necessary abortions, saying the medical exceptions in the law were broad enough. So Texas is its own hellscape there. Oh, Texas.
I can imagine living in Texas. No. yeah. I just, it is, like, I make jokes about The Handmaid's Tale, but, like, hi.
It's Gilead. It's Gilead.
It's happening. There's some big red fucking flags that are going to be the flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
The thing that's disturbing about that show is the flashbacks, and you see, like, the absolute, like, similarities between what we're going through now, and then also, like, how it just was, like, casual, like, people just hear, you just hear things, and you're just going about your day to day, and then
it's
suddenly...
not a big deal. Okay, just stay home. Like, they just don't want you to work right now. It's gonna be fine. Like, just don't worry. Yeah, very casually.
little by little. Let's see. So the next one is, it is not safe for transgender women to be allowed in women's restrooms.
Do you know how many men's restrooms I have peed in bars? Yeah. What? They're not coming in there. Could you imagine going through all of that medical care, all of that hormonal therapy, all of the surgery, just so you could go assault somebody in a bathroom? Really? Yeah. There are... Women get assaulted all the time out in the world.
Yeah. So that book
that
I
that extreme for a victim.
The book that I read, Invisible Women, I think that's what it's called. It's like the data and statistics around, like, women in data. Like, that's just, they're not there because men are the default. But there's a whole chapter on public bathrooms and how globally it's just, they really aren't safe places for women. There are places that are exactly. There are places that are making it, and they're finding that gender neutral bathrooms are actually more safe because. Mm-hmm. And
they're usually self contained. They are usually locking. Mm-hmm. They're You're not. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I will use the gender neutral bathroom anytime I can.
Yeah.
Because it's safer. It locks. It's self-contained. I can take my children with me and they can't run and look at the stall.
Yeah.
And say, do you have a vagina or a penis?
All right. So a response to that. I hear that you are concerned about women's safety. Safety is also important to me. Of the hundreds of cities, schools, school districts, and states who have enacted laws to protect transgender people's rights to use restrooms, there have been zero reported instances of violence perpetrated by transgender people or of people pretending to be transgender in order to gain access to restrooms. While we are considering data around safety in restrooms, we should look at what the data show about the safety of transgender women in restrooms. According to Williams Institute at UCLA School of Law, transgender people are four times more likely to be victims of violent crime than their cisgender counterparts. Many transgender people report that restrooms are places where they routinely experience harassment and violence. Transgender people deserve to have a safe place to use the bathroom, just like you and me.
Yeah. Everybody deserves to pee in peace.
Yeah.
We had this meeting at our school, and this mother was going off about, are we going to have a gender-neutral bathroom in our school? And the principal said, we've always had a gender-neutral bathroom. Every single school in this district has a gender-neutral bathroom. She's like, why? We're going to promote that? He was like, no, it's so that teachers can use the bathroom and be self-contained. They're not going in with students. It's also for children who have, like, some sort of disability and have aids, like walkers or wheelchairs, and they have a little bit more room and they're more self-contained should they need to bring an aide in with them. He's like, that's just allowing people who need to access the bathroom to access the bathroom.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, shut her down.
That's right.
Dog, you stink. Sorry. Whoa.
Gassy.
Sorry, Albus reeks.
All right, so next one. Kids are saying they're transgender now because it's cool and their friends are doing it. So it's a trend. What worries you about that? Identity exploration may be fluid, and that's okay. Supporting kids in this exploration ensures that they feel affirmed and loved. Increased representation and visibility have given many people, including youth, the opportunity to explore their full selves. If it's not hurting anyone, trusting our kids when they tell us with who they are is a powerful form of affirmation, and giving them the space to experiment will help them grow into healthy adults. Yep. I can't imagine, like, how different my life would be if my like had, if I had affirmation about being queer, you know, being gay. Mm-hmm. I just completely different. Oh, less trauma. Thank you.
Could you imagine? Yes, yeah. Could you imagine having a mom who's like, oh, you want to wear a dress today? You want to paint your nails today? Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to play with a Barbie doll? Let's go buy you a Barbie doll. Yeah. You want me to fix your Barbie doll's hair? Okay. I'm really good at fixing hair.
Yeah. Instead of overhearing my mom say, oh, in fourth grade, oh, he has a friend that's a boy that is teaching him how to play with the...
How to be a boy.
Yeah, how to be a boy, because we did, like, kickball or something. I don't know. And
breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't understand the... Why not teach a young boy how to hold a baby and be gentle and soft? Why not teach a young boy that it's okay to like pretty things and appreciate glitter? Like, where's the harm in teaching someone to have a more well-rounded personality other than truck's good, beer good?
Right? Yeah. Well, see,
the ballet, why is that? Oh, boy, shouldn't like the ballet. Really? It's a feat of athletic performance.
Yeah. Football players take ballet lessons so that they can be more agile. And
hockey players take figure skating classes so they can move on that ice quickly and do some crazy fucking moves.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand this. Manly men. Mm. Oh, okay.
Which is, it's just a social construct, but when I think of like when people, so we've seen like those videos where like a gay guy will run, you know, me presenting very masculine, it's easy for me to be like to be seen as kind of as a threat, you know, and so I have to,
if
like
you were running down the street, I would not you, because I know you, but as a woman seeing you running towards me, I would hold myself a certain way and I would be on high alert. Absolutely.
Oh, and I notice it. I notice it for sure. And I tried to, like, give a smile or do something to, like, kind of I don't necessarily always feel safe to be like, hey, girl, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, get, like,
yeah. Because who's around, right? You have to take care of your safety as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So
and
I just
unfortunately, women are very good at taking care of our safety and being on alert. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really sad. And I notice it at the gym a lot. And I'm so I try to be very, like, careful about how I present to, like, how I respond to women, you know, and that way. But there is a thing about how once a woman finds out that I'm gay, there's just like the sudden, just like the shields will drop. It's just like,
you can, your shoulders go down and you
can basically see it.
You can take a deep breath and you're like, I'm in a safe space.
Yeah. It's sad that it's that way. I just, all right, so we got this the last one until we go to our little. All right, some people regret transitioning. You're right, some people do. It's a small number, 1%, as compared to a 20% regret rate for knee replacements, for example. What's more important for me is for people to have autonomy over their own lives. People make decisions they regret all the time. That doesn't mean that we should stop them from being able to make them. It seems unfair to me that we treat medical intervention for transgender people as something that is worthy of more gatekeeping or obstacles compared to other medical decisions.
Yeah, how many women have, you know, they've regretted breast implants, they've regretted rhinoplasty, they've regretted... There's going to be regret in any decision that you make.
Yeah.
You know? Tattoos.
Tattoos, yeah.
Like,
there's a higher level, a higher percentage of regret on tattoos than there are for
people who are transitioned.
For
sure. For sure. Yeah. I know somebody, they got a barcode tattooed on their wrist, and within weeks, they were like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done. Especially because we went to self-checkouts. We went to the self-checkouts at Walmart and tried to scan it and didn't scan. Didn't even scan.
Oh.
So, didn't even come up like unknown. It would just, nothing. It was very So, what good are you?
This is the next part of what was going to... The church's position on transitioning.
Oh, you've always been who you are. God doesn't make mistakes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. This is from the General Handbook. Church leaders counsel against elective medical or surgical intervention for the purpose of attempting to transition to the opposite gender of a person's birth sex. Leaders advise that these actions will be cause for church membership restrictions. Leaders also counsel against social transitioning. A social transition includes changing dress or grooming, or changing a name or pronouns to present oneself as other than his or her birth sex. Leaders advise that those who socially transition will experience some church membership restrictions for the duration of this transition. Restrictions include receiving or exercising the priesthood, receiving or using a temple recommend, and receiving some church callings. Although some privileges of church membership are restricted, other church participation is welcomed. Transgender individuals who do not pursue medical, surgical, or social transition to the opposite gender and are worthy may receive church callings, temple recommends, and temple ordinances. So basically, just don't tell us and don't show us.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. you can have whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And pretend to be somebody you're not, and then you can. It's basically the same as what they do, and they still do, and have done to gay people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you can be gay.
You can be gay, but you can't be gay.
Yeah.
No.
You can't act on it. Some children, youth, and adults are prescribed hormone therapy by a licensed medical professional to ease gender dysphoria or reduce suicidal thoughts. Before a person begins such therapy, it is important that he or she and the parents of the minor understands the potential risks and benefits. If these members are not attempting to transition to the opposite gender and are worthy, they may receive church callings, temple recommends, and temple ordinances.
Like, that's the most important thing. Not making sure that this person is comfortable safe. In their own identity and safe and loved and cherished.
And it's, affirming yeah, and who they are. Yeah.
It's, well, you want to be able to have your church callings, don't you?
Yeah.
Silly. Don't you want to go to the temple? It's like, way more important than what, like, you feel inside of your body. Dummy.
So this part is interesting. If a member decides to change his or her preferred name or pronouns of address, the name preference may be noted in the preferred name field on the membership record. The person may be addressed by the preferred name in the ward. So that's interesting that they're willing to do that.
Yeah.
It's weird. Okay, wait, you just said it's contradictory, though, because you just said mm-hmm. they can't socially so you'll accept
it's
them
circle socially. Pot.
Social transition, but you can't, and we'll put it in a note in there
mm-hmm.
and you can still hold some callings, but you can't have everything. Like mm-hmm. it's just
it's okay. That PR move of like, see, you can use your preferred name, oh, but that goes against and then you can't have a calling. So
yeah.
Just talking in a circle. They're assholes.
The church does not take a position on the causes of people identifying themselves as transgender.
The causes. Oh my god.
Yeah. This is also, so that was, this is from their website too. And it's like the question and answer type thing. What right, is the church's yeah. position on transitioning? The next question is, if I have already transitioned, am I welcome at church? All of Heavenly Father's children are welcome at church. If you have chosen to transition, you may still be eligible for baptism and are welcome at church meetings.
Yeah, because your baptism is going to wash away all your sins. Mm.
So that was from the handbook too. And they've come back. Let's see. I saw. So this is from even like 2023. And they had just. It's an update. The newest update. And then anyway, Sister Michelle Craig taught Latter-day Saints come in many shapes and sizes, but all are alike unto God. Black and white, bond and free, male and females. Not even. You know, binary stuff. Single and married, rich and poor, a young and old, lifelong member and recent convert. No matter who you are, what you're dealing with, you are invited to the Lord's table. If I'm faithful enough, will my experience of gender incongruence go away? That's the gender incongruence is the similar. It's the same type of phrase as same sex attraction. That just completely same just font. Makes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Experiencing gender incongruence is not a measure of your faithfulness. Many people pray for years and do all they can to be obedient in an effort to reduce the incongruence, yet find they still feel conflicts. This is not unusual. The experience varies along a spectrum of intensity for different people and at different times for the same person. The experience may also vary for children, youth, and adults. The intensity and duration of this experience may not be in your control. However, you can choose how to respond. Some people find it helpful to focus on how their experiences help them learn and grow. Aligning our will with God's will is an important act of faith that brings great blessings now and even greater blessings in the world to come. So, there's that. I think that's all. So, have you heard of? Let's see. There are numbers. Sorry, I'm getting to my. So the 2020 version of the handbook was more brutal, and this was actually from The Advocate, which is a nationally known LGBTQ plus. I don't know if you. It might. In Canada, or that might get up there. You might, I don't know if you have it up there, but they looked at the 2020 version of the handbook, and they said the book also stands against social transition. So in 2020, they were against social transition, changes in dress, grooming, names, or pronouns. They put restrictions. The book replaces two earlier ones and reflects the views of the church's two highest governing bodies. There are a number of moral policies that we've now put on paper where the first presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve stand. Elder Anthony D. Perkins, executive director of the church's correlation department, which oversees the creation of the handbook, said in a press release. One of those moral policies that is new is around persons who identify as transgender. The reason that policy has been added is we've had an increase in questions coming from bishops and stake presidents saying, what can a transgender person do? What are the guidelines? The transgender policy states that everyone is welcome to attend our meetings and that we should create a warm, welcoming environment for all, including persons who identify as transgender. At the same time, the policy clarifies that some of the things in the church are gender specific. Affirmation, it's LGBTQ Mormons, Families, and Friends, a support group for LGBTQ people who are current for or former members of the LDS Church, did not care for the new handbook. Affirmation continues to stand aligned with the medical and psychiatric communities regarding these essential characteristics of gender identity and that self-determination is the only means to establish gender identity. No person, group, or institution has the means or the right to determine gender identity for any individual. Narrowly defining gender as the biological sex at birth negates the lived experience of transgender individuals. The organization also objected to the use of the term same-sex attraction regarding lesbian, gay, and bisexual people. The term is an ineffective descriptor created by people and organizations outside of the community rooted in a belief that sexual orientation is a behavior and therefore amendable to conversion therapy and change such behavior. Using this as a blanket identifier for LGB individuals is a step backward. Affirmation did praise the fact that the church will no longer consider same-sex marriages apostasy, rejection of church teaching, or deny baptism to children whose primary residence is with the same-sex couple. These policies have been denounced widely since they were announced in 2015, and the church indicated last April that it was backtracking on them. This was long ago. However, the fact that legally married same-sex couples are still considered in serious transgression with the church still leaves lesbian and gay members of the church facing incredibly painful choices. So, I can remember, so when that came out, the whole thing with the you can't be a child of a same-sex couples cannot be baptized until they're 18.
They have to cut off their parents.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And that was kind of the beginning of my like deconstruction because I heard that and I was like, what the fuck? And then I had to, that was like, brought me back to the, like getting more focused because I was so away from it for a long time and I was just like, whatever they do is fine. But I would see stuff that would anger me, but nothing like that. I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? And so then that's when I really started to dive into other stuff and to dive into and that's where all the history of the church came into play and all the CES letter
all the things
all
spiral
the things. Yep. So anyway, that's what I had for But it's not really surprising that the church is still just, they are standing firm on transgender stuff. But are they? I feel like they're kind of like, it's like you said, circular talk. It's like, we want you there, but we don't want you there. You can be your, you can be here, but you just don't be your, be queer. You know?
Yeah, you can be here, but don't be queer.
And the... So I also, like, I don't know. I think it's important to, like, have those, I don't know. I thought that listeners might enjoy to hear, to, like, because a lot of people don't know, even out, even if you are out of the church and you are discovering other things, you know, you're still, transgender is still, like, this, like, mystery to a lot of people.
It is. And,
so maybe just, like, allowing to have, you know, have them hear a conversation about that. So,
and to see that it's a deeper, it's a much deeper issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And the church is continuing to be a force against the LGBTQ community, no matter what they say that they are accepting and whatever, they're actually not. I saw this thing on Wikipedia that was like a timeline of like their policies against gay people of the LGBTQ plus community. And there was the thing about the Reformation. No, something marriage. Oh my God. There's some act that was like this, basically we've talked about it before. It was like this Band-Aid basically. And to me, I was like, of course they're going to go with that because it's a PR move. And also it just affirms that they can have be protected against ever having same-sex marriages. Like, of course. Yeah. But they're toting it as like, oh, we're so
progressive. We want to, the construct of marriage.
Anyway.
That was fun and enraging.
I know, I'm tired now. The I do think that those responses in that, in the, to all those transgender like things were,
those were really good. Yeah, absolutely. I think more of that information needs to be spread out there and talked about and having dialogues and not having it be the scary unknown. Like, we just need to be open and have those conversations and shut down those stupid moms who take all the time in parent council meeting to talk about things that are absolutely asinine.
Like litter, cat litters in bathrooms.
It's the same lady.
It's not Elrum. That does not surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same lady. Same woman.
I wonder where she gets her news. There's, not very surprised where she get it.
Yep. Yep. It's great.
Well,
thanks for that. That was I liked the research that you did was top notch.